Okay, good morning everyone, Shavuato. I understand all the learning this morning will be the Luis Ishmael Zalman Yaakov Ben Nachman. Thank you very much for inviting me. But I'm about to again for putting this on. The topic I'm going to speak about for the next few minutes or so, just to open up ideas on a very, very interesting topic of what's called Das Torah, the idea of rabbinic authority. And I think this is a particularly interesting topic in modern times because of all the ramifications of this notion, of this idea. The rabbinic authority, in a sense, is absolute. And how far does it stretch? Does it stretch beyond the halacha into what we might call the realms of reshut, divrei gashmiim, or material matters, business, medicine, and so on and so forth? And I think it's a fascinating dividing line, in a sense, in the dati world. I think in the Hasidic world, in the yeshiva world, now more so, it's become a very popular idea. And I think perhaps in the more Torah Mada, Torah Derech Eretz world, perhaps less so. So let me start off with a story. A few years ago, I heard a chap speak, an elderly gentleman, and by name, I'm sure some of you have heard him, by the name of Leslie Kleiman. Now, Leslie Kleiman was actually brought up as Laser Kleiman, and he grew up in a small town in Hungary called Satmar, which may be familiar to some people. And he was the youngest of nine children. And on the outbreak of World War II, he was a young boy at the time. His father, who was a shochet in town, he went to the Satmar Rav, who would have Das Torah, who have ultimate rabbinic authority for obvious reasons in his kehillah. And he said to him, I don't feel safe here anymore. World, you know, the war is breaking out and so on. And I want to make aliyah with my family. I want to go and live in Eretz Yisrael. And the Satmar Rebbe told him that, according to Leslie Kleiman, absolutely under no circumstances was he to make aliyah. It would be forbidden for him to do so. And not to worry. Stay in Hungary. It will be fine. Everything will be fine. Very sadly, it's a fascinating story, but it's a very tragic one, where out of the nine children and his parents, Leslie Kleiman was the only one to survive the Shoah. He, after the Shoah, fascinating life, then left Dutz for many years. He was not from, and only in recent years has come back to Torah. What do we make of that, such a story, such a shocking story? And I think for a lot of people, what is particularly difficult is that the Satmar Rav himself did actually leave Hungary. And he left on the Zionist transport. He left on the famous Kassner transport. It was the Zionists that got the Satmar Rebbe out, as well as the Belzer Rebbe as well. So in a sense here, by using the rabbinic authority, this is a real issue. It was a real life and death issue. The consequences were somewhat tragic. What do we make of this? So in a sense, what I want to try and look at is whether this notion of Das Torah, how far does it stretch? Does it stretch? I'm going to assume everyone here accepts that rabbinic authority does count for issues of halachic issues. I think that goes without question. And I think a wonderful makor for really celebrating that idea, not that it needs to be defended in a sense, is the Hagdama to Igrot Moshe of Moshe Feinstein, where he talks about that it's not necessarily about getting it correct, even in halachic matters. Rav Yossi Aglili, for example, who disagreed with Chazal that chicken should not be included with regards to the meat and milk prohibition, his whole town agreed, they accepted his psak, even though he got it wrong, even though he got the psak wrong, the whole town accepted his psak because he was the maradatra, he was the rav of the town, and the Gemara tells us there was terrible persecution of the kehilot of northern Israel at the time, and the one town that was saved was his town because his talmidim, his whole kehillah, in fact, kept to his word in a strict halachic sense, even though perhaps he got it wrong. Now, with regard going beyond that, though, how far does rabbinic authority stretch? And I think what's important here, if you speak to most people that do accept this idea, there seems to be something, for want of a better word, a supernatural going on as well. There is something that the Rebbe has at his fingertips. I think the common term is Ruach HaKodesh. At his fingertips, perhaps we don't have, and the average person doesn't have, and therefore that gives him a deeper insight into matters beyond the halachic realm, in fact, in all matters of importance in the world today. So, the Gemara that seems to support this idea, not certainly on face value, but will bring some Rishonim that seems to support it, is Gemara in Bava Batra. And the Gemara there in Bava Batra, it's a fascinating Gemara there for lots of reasons, but there we're told that Rabbi Abdimit ibn Chefa says the following: Yom Shechar Beit HaMikdash, from the day that the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, Nitla Nevua min HaNevi'im Nitla LaChachamim, that the Nevua, the idea of prophecy, was taken away from the prophets and given to Chachamim. This is odd because aren't Nevi'im themselves Chachamim? Pardon?
Which
Yeah, thank you very much. Daf Yud Bet Amud, to the bottom of Amud Aleph goes on to Amud Bet. So this is odd. The Gemara says, "Atu chacham nav navi." Who isn't a chacham included in the notion of a navi? In fact, it would seem a navi has to be a chacham. Hachi kama. What the Gemara means to say is, "Afa pish nitla min haneviim." Even though it was taken from the neviim, and Rashi says there, "She'enam chachamim." He adds on the two words, "She'enam chachamim." I'll come back to what that means. Neviim that were not chachamim. Mina chachamim nonitna. From the Chachamim themselves, Nevuah was not taken from them. And the Rimban goes on to explain that there were types of Nevi'im. Yonah, he gives the example of Yonah, who was a one-off Navi. He was a tzaddik, but he wasn't a Chacham in a sense. He wasn't the most brilliant of people as well, but he was a tzaddik. And therefore he had Nevuah for that Shlichut to Nineveh. But ultimately, the era of Nevi'im was over, but nevertheless, Chachamim had it. And in fact, it goes on to say that actually, Chacham Adif mi Navi, Chacham is Adif, is preferable to Navi, Shneema, V'Navi Levav Chochma. Navi is compared to Chacham, and Navi has a heart of wisdom, and so in fact, the idea of a Talmud Chacham is even raised above a Navi. And the question is, how can that be? And the answer given, there's a little shatla v'tariya going on here, back and forth in the Gemara, but essentially a Chacham can reach the conclusion, a Chacham can reach the end of any issue, and can give you his reasoning of how he got there. A Navi, on the hand, is simply a conduit. He is a vessel, as it were, by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives his message as Nevuah. It feeds through to the Navi, and the Navi just simply expresses what he has heard. But the Chacham, through his own deep thought and wisdom, can get to the same conclusion, but take you step by step and show that to you. Now the Ramban goes on to say, based on this Gemara, very interestingly, that how do the Chachamim do this? How do they do this? And there are Mefarshim that say they do it through their wisdom, through their Chochmah. But he goes further and he says, "Ela yodim ha'emet." They know the truth. Ruach Hakodesh shebekirbam. They know it through Ruach Hakodesh. And I think it's fair to say it's a supernatural notion that is within them. They have, through their pure learning, this higher sense of understanding. And in fact, of the Achronim who have celebrated this idea, people like Rabbi Chaim Wasserman and the Chofetz Chaim as well, they point out that anyone who sticks to a pure Torah lifestyle, a pure Torah with no sense of chitzoniyot in their life, they will be able to have this notion of Da'at Torah. Okay, so that is, I think, a very powerful makor for this notion of a supernatural quality to the rabbinic judgments there. And I think, in a sense, if we only look at it in the example that I gave you, in a sense, I raised a straw man. I don't think there are any chassidim chassidim among us, and I think it's a very easy sort of example to knock down. But imagine if in front of us there was a Talmid Chacham that we can all agree on, a world-class Talmid Chacham. Imagine the Vilna Gaon walked in now, or the Chofetz Chaim walked in now, and he told us, "This is my Da'at Torah, this is my rabbinic authority." I genuinely think it's very hard for any of us in this room to say, "Actually, I'm not going to go with that. I'll go my own way." I think that would be a very difficult notion indeed, in fact, on whatever issue may be. And on Pirkei Avot, in Masechet Avot, Parak Vav, Mishnah Aleph, we're told there that, in fact, when you have a Talmud Chacham, that he was also a tzaddik and so on, that his chachma can raise him to the level of tzidkut, that there's lots of things we can gain out of a Talmid Chacham. And one of those are that b'ne'anim imena etza v'tushia bina u'gvura, that we can learn from him advice, counsel, wisdom, and strength. Now the Me'iri, and I have to say of all people the Me'iri, because the Me'iri is known as a rationalist, and yet the Me'iri tells us that when it talks about tushia, and that we can learn from this Talmid Chacham notion of tushia, he describes tushia as follows. He etza hayoter amukab inyanim ruchaniim. That this is indeed with regards divrei Torah. But the first guidance that we can gain from the idea of etza, the Me'iri says, is the maasehem agashmiim. That even on business matters, on all issues, beyond Torah, if I've got a problem with my business, medical issues, and I'm sure we've all heard the stories, famous story of the Chazon Ish, the Babish Rebbe, and so on and so forth, we've heard such stories, that even regards medical, political, economic business issues, people go to them, and it seems like they do indeed are able to tell us insights, perhaps through Ruach HaKodesh, above and beyond. So who doesn't like this idea? The Rambam, for a start, seems absolutely opposed to this idea. The Moreh Nevuchim, for example, he writes Chelek Gimel Perek Yud Dalet. He writes in very powerful terms. Don't ask me to explain or to you how the Chazal, if they got it wrong or right with regard to science, astronomy, these sort of things. Okay, that these ideas, issues of science beyond medicine, beyond the realm of Torah, these are matters that simply the rabbis themselves, they learnt it from the secular sages of their time, from the Greeks and so on. And if they got it wrong, they got it wrong. There's nothing to be worried about. And in fact, this is an issue Rav Aaron Lichtenstein picks up, although with regard to Rav Shach. Rav Shach famously, allegedly said, no one can actually find in the writings of Rav Shach, the only makor I've heard is in this Rav Lichtenstein, but anyway, it's interesting. Rav Lichtenstein knocks Rav Shach down in saying he's shocked by Rav Shach's remark that where did Chazal know that the earth was 42 times larger than the moon and that the sun was approximately 170 times larger than the earth, if not from the power of Torah? That's elementary, elementary science. Completely wrong. They're all completely wrong. The volumes are completely way out of whack there. And yet this is Rav Shach saying it, so that they knew it from Torah, and yet his sums are completely wrong. And so Rav Lichtenstein is saying, you know, come on, we need to grow up in a sense here. We get things wrong and we need to look to science as well. So we have here, in a sense, both aspects of that. And perhaps to finish off, I think a very powerful view, and one which I think is a lovely balanced way to look at it, is that of the Sri Dei Eish. The Sri Dei Eish says that, in first of all, Das Torah as a concept doesn't appear anywhere in Chazal, it doesn't appear anywhere in the Gemara, but one concept that does appear is the notion of Emunah Chachamim, of having faith in our sages. But with regard to Emunah Chachamim, Pirkei Avot tells us you have to have what's known as Pilpul HaTalmidim. We have to make a kinyan on Torah ourselves. We have to fight and struggle and make a real understanding of what Torah means, of what Torah, of how to understand Torah. To simply accept rabbinic wisdom without challenging it, in a sense, is perhaps belittling. According to the Sri Dei Eish, it belittles rabbinic wisdom. It needs to be challenged. It needs our own sechel to go into it. And by that struggle, by that refinement, hopefully we can reveal deeper truths of Torah in whatever sphere that may be. Thank you very much.